Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Glad you're here with us for another edition of Health Matters. And when it comes to health, one of the things that we are all fully aware of is that although much progress is being made, we need much more progress when it comes particularly to the dealing with of cancer. We have a guest today who is really helping to lead the way with regards to research that has to do with treatments that are being brought to the forefront that is helping improve the quality of life of so many, especially people who suffer from leukemia. He is none other than an international leader in clinical research in leukemia, Dr. Jorge Cortez. Dr. Cortez, hello and how are you doing?
Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you?
I am doing very well also, and am very honored to be able to speak with someone who has just done so much and continues to do so much to help us with the quality of our lives when it comes to particularly dealing with cancer. But before we get to what you are doing when it comes to the field of cancer, could you speak with me about your career, sharing with us something about your academic background, what inspired you to specifically decide to deal with cancer and even more particularly leukemia?
Well, I'm originally from Mexico, and I started my career in Mexico. I did my medical school there, and then I came to Houston to do my training in hematology initially, and then I did the training also in medical oncology. And originally, my interest was more about hematology and clotting, but as I was doing my training, my fellowship, I came across some outstanding mentors and some people that were really inspiring because of what they were doing in fighting leukemia, the research that they were doing. This was many years ago, and certainly there were many more limitations on the scope of the research and the advances that we were making, and yet these individuals were very very interested in finding ways, even with the limitations we had back then in terms of technology and knowledge and all these things. So that made me very interested in following those leads and getting into clinical research, getting into leukemia, and finding ways to try to improve the outcome. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be offered a position once I finished my fellowship at MD Anderson. So I started doing clinical research, and for the last 23 years, that's what I've been doing. I've been doing clinical research in leukemia, especially looking at new modalities of therapy, developing new drugs. And as you mentioned in your introduction, we have been fortunate enough to make very good progress in some areas. You rightly mentioned that there's a lot of work to do, but that's how I came into this, just through opportunities and very good mentors that helped me in my early career and inspired me to be involved and to try to do something to improve the life of patients.
One more thing, Dr. Cortez, with regards to your role as a researcher in the field of medicine, when and how did you realize that you would want to go into the field of medicine because that would be the right fit for you?
You know, I was young. I was in high school, and one of the big inspirations for me was my grandfather, on my mother's side. I was always very close to him, and at some point, I was interested, thinking I was going to be a dentist, and he was in my family. But he thought I would have been a good fit for medicine. So without putting any pressure, I don't think I was pushed into this. But you know, he kind of talked me about the different options and made me think about what would work best. And So sometime during high school, I decided that indeed medicine was fit for me, and I certainly have been very happy. I have a young son who wants to be a doctor, and I keep reminding him that if this is what he wants to do, it's a great career. It's something that every day you can have a motivation to do something good for somebody. You'll have plenty of opportunities to do that. So I was fortunate enough to have some guidance and some good advice from my grandfather.
That's awesome. It is amazing, and I think just a significant point that you have had apparently all along the way, quite a few people who have really been inspirations to you to help you along your way. And as we discuss that throughout the here and there throughout the conversation, I definitely want you to talk more about your stellar career and what it has brought you, the honors that it has garnered for you. But as we before we get there, I think it would be great for us to begin to talk more about the cancer now. And before we begin to talk about treatments and therapies, research projects that are on the table, could you share with us, Dr. Cortez, what cancer really is and what produces it?
Cancer, in simple terms, is an abnormality. Normally, our cells of any organ, whether it's the blood, in the case of leukemia, which starts in the bone marrow, or the stomach, or the prostate, or, you know, any organ, the cells are constantly dividing so that the old cells, as they die, are replaced with new ones, and our organs continue functioning the way they should. And what generally happens is that during that process, something goes wrong, usually at the gene level, that makes those cells start an uncontrolled proliferation. Normally, these process of making more cells is very well regulated, where we make more when we need more, and it goes down when we have enough. In cancer, there's no more regulation. These cells behave abnormally. They grow faster. They grow much more. They make many more cells. And of course, they have an abnormal behavior. They don't do the normal functions, and they may have functions that are bad for our bodies. So that is essentially what a cancer is an unregulated proliferation of cells of a given organ that has no good function and can disrupt the function of that organ and eventually get out to other places and also cause damage in those other places. That is what we call metastasis, a tumor that starts in the, let's say, in the prostate and goes to the brain or that starts in the stomach and goes to the bone or something like that. Now, what causes it is still not very well known for many cancers. We definitely know some things that cause cancer that are clearly identified. Smoking is perhaps the one that we're most familiar with. It definitely causes lung cancer, and it's also associated with many other cancers. Leukemia is one of them. There are other things that cause cancer, exposure to radiation. Usually, it's not radiation what you get in a X-ray, for example. It's really big time exposure to radiation. For example, when there's been nuclear disasters in nuclear plants or things of that nature. So those are things that most individuals are not exposed to. Heavy exposure to benzene. In some areas where there's been really very heavy exposure, it's not just pumping gas into your car. It's these very heavy exposures. Those things can cause cancer. But in many instances, we really don't know what causes cancer. We're starting to learn some other things. For example, there's genetic predisposition. There are certain genes that if an individual carries, may predispose them, and it's not a cause, but at least it makes them more susceptible to develop cancer. there are some that have been identified for breast cancer and for colon cancer and for other cancers. And in many instances, we think that cancer is something that is that we call multifactorial, meaning it's not just one factor that causes cancer. For example, you may need to have a certain gene that makes you more susceptible, but then have a certain exposure that causes that that second hit that then can trigger the cancer. So it is a complex problem where it's usually not one thing that is enough. Certainly, as I mentioned, some things we know that can cause cancer, but many others, in many cancers, we don't really have a good explanation of what may be the main cause.
Gotcha. So two related questions about that. You mentioned that with cancer, we see a proliferation of cells within the body that really just causes all kinds of problems over time. Are we talking about proliferation of our own cells, or are we talking about a proliferation of foreign cells that somehow made their way into the body? And then secondly, with these other causes like smoking, the exposure to benzene, et cetera, are they acting on our cells to trigger that proliferation of what leads to eventually cancer?
Yes, these are important considerations, and the proliferation is of our own cells, of our own organs. Now, these in a few instances, we know that, for example, a virus may trigger or may contribute to that proliferation or an abnormal reaction to some exposure. But it is our own cells, our normal cells, that are proliferating in this abnormal way. Actually, there have been a few instances where we have identified in individuals that have no cancer that have some of these genetic abnormalities that are like cancer, but they never develop into cancer. So it looks like even when these things happen at the early stages, sometimes our body is able to control them. But others, it escapes the control systems, the immune system or others, and that then develops into a full-blown cancer. And yes, those external factors that you mentioned, the smoking, the exposure to sun, for example, when it's heavy and causes skin cancers, those kind of exposures do contribute to the proliferation of these cells. Sometimes by changing their genetic composition or their behavior, and that triggers the cancer. So in the instances where we know these important contributors, changing those behaviors, changing those exposures can make a big difference between having a significant risk or a much lower risk of developing a given cancer.
That is so interesting. And so once this proliferation of our cells begins, regardless of what triggers it, did you mention that part of what the body does to respond to that, to try to help the body recover as quickly as possible, is we have our immune system kicks in to try to deal with and maybe shut down, or as you mentioned, control the further proliferation of those cells and bring it back into its proper balance?
Yes, our bodies, our cells are incredibly efficient, and if you think about how many cells on any given day, how many cells throughout our body are dividing and making more cells, the probability of error that leads into problems is huge. But there are many mechanisms that allow our cells and our body to correct those errors. To eliminate cells that are not normal, but once in a while these escape, and sometimes these exposures and these other external factors are the things that can contribute to our own systems not being able to properly control these. So, despite how scary these sounds, it is incredibly efficient how our bodies sometimes can control this. And that's where, you know, a healthy lifestyle and all these other elements that we always emphasize are so important, because that allows your body to have a better chance of preventing or certainly controlling those early stages of or these early errors that otherwise could lead into developing a tumor or abnormal cells.
That is so interesting that you would mention that, Dr. Cortez, the fact that there are things that we can be doing as a matter of lifestyle that can help reduce the risk. And, of course, we know exercise, proper rest, and proper nutrition are at least three things that can help us with that. And is there something in particular that is taking place in our bodies when we are eating well as opposed to when we have a poor diet, when we're exercising as opposed to when we're just sitting around all the time, when we're getting to bed at an hour that is good for our bodies as opposed to when we're just constantly pushing, burning that midnight oil?
Yeah, you know, I think all of these elements, and I mean, you mentioned some that are critical, and we could add a few others. You know, obesity has been increasingly linked to the risk of cancer, and so all of these elements contribute to our these control mechanisms, our proper function of the immune system. It is you know, well established that a proper balanced diet certainly contributes to having a better immune system, good exercise. You know, all these things contribute to our ability to be able to fight these all of these. And it's not just any one given element that is important. So that's why, you know, we don't necessarily emphasize that you have to eat this particular food or avoid this particular other. It is the whole concept of proper rest, a healthy, balanced diet, adequate exercise, avoid exposure to the sun. You know, all these elements, they all play together in minimizing the risk of cancer. It doesn't eliminate it. There's occasions where these things happen anyway. No matter, you know, because you hear all the time of somebody who was a very healthy individual who ate well and rested well and had a very healthy lifestyle and still develops cancer. Yes, of course, that can happen. Sometimes the pressure of the genetic predisposition is enough, and other elements. But certainly, when you talk about the probability, the risk of developing cancer, it can certainly be influenced by all of these taking proper care of ourselves.
I tell you, it's so beautiful to know that we have the power to do something ourselves to at least try to reduce that risk of developing cancer. When we come back, we'll look at some other ways that cancer can be dealt with when our immune system is not able to shut that enemy down and when a healthy lifestyle doesn't prevent it from happening. You all stay with us. I'm speaking with our guest, yours and mine, Dr. Jorge Cortez. We'll be right back.